A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says three interesting things to me in the last half of the excerpt we're reading from the Good Shepherd Discourse. Now, three interesting things. He says a million interesting things. Let me just pick three here. First, he says, there will be one flock. I'm sorry, before I get to that one. He says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. And then the second thing is, he says, I have one flock, one shepherd. And then the third thing, I have power to lay it down, power to take it up again, my life. So I have other sheep who I must lead who do not belong to this fold. Okay, this is very interesting. So the church right now, Christ is saying, is not complete. Who we are as a parish community at St. Paul the Cross, you know, you go to church, you got your pew, your spot, you know people, you're familiar with your priest or whatever parish it is. That's actually Jesus saying, don't get too comfortable, because it's got to change. That's not enough. We haven't made it yet. Even if we've got the greatest parish in the world, we're not there, because there's others outside of this flock that need to come in. So which means this is kind of challenging to us, because again, don't get comfortable, whether it's comfortable literally in your place in church or comfortable in how you see the church looking. It's gotta change. Now, let me, and that goes into the, there must be one flock, one shepherd. The one flock, one shepherd is, the one flock is going to have these people who don't belong to the flock right now. And I don't think Jesus necessarily is going to totally conform them to the way the church is now. And he's not certainly going to conform us to the way the world is now, the flock outside of this church, which means there's a third way or middle ground that we're not there yet. That's the one flock that Jesus has in mind. So again, it's challenging to us. Now, some people, when they hear this, like the church has got to change, there's some people who are either going to love this or some people are going to hate it. People who love it generally are those like with an axe to grind when it comes to some church teaching. Like, yes, we got to change, you know, whatever, the mass or women's ordination or, you know, the church is teaching on social issues and so forth. That's how we're going to get more people in. And then there's people just like the opposite who say, no, like we need to protect those way, those that teaching and what we're doing. And we need to get those people to come to us because we've got the truth. I mean, we do have the truth, but again, Christ is acknowledging, and this isn't a hope he's saying, I hope there's one flock. He's saying there's got to be one way. So I'm not saying we're going to change, or I even like, I'm not taking a stance on one of those, you know, like we got to change or we can't change. I'm just holding up, I guess, to us all this kind of unsettling reality that we are not where we where we're meant to be. We're not there yet. It's like you know, a sports team that's had a losing season, and or maybe not a losing season, but you know, didn't make the playoffs, or they made the playoffs, they did pretty well, but they didn't win the championship. All right, that's where we are. The championship is this other way that God is leading us to. Now, I know this probably is coming across as like harsh and, you know, judgmental, or, you know, like kind of wagging the finger at you, like shame on you. Don't take it that way. And I'm certainly not telling you like, hey, you got to get out there and change. Like, you got to start evangelizing to bring people in. Because, I mean, we're hearing enough of that these days, you know, this constant harping, like, got to evangelize. And it kind of makes you feel guilty after a while, because I get harped on that too. It's like, wait, I'm doing my best here. I'm loving God. I'm partaking of the sacraments. Why should I feel bad about that, right? So it's not that. It's not what I'm going towards here, but more of an understanding of the church. And not a heaviness, but actually an excitement. Because as great as the church might be, and as great as our parish or your parish might be, like, man, there's an even better way. So this goes into the third part. Jesus says, I have power to lay it down, my life, and power to take it up again. And he says that twice. And he says specifically, this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. So this taking it up again is key. It's not like Jesus just dies or just lays down his life, you know, makes this sacrifice, but he does it. He does the sacrifice to come back. So he's coming back to this earth, not like the way he did 2,000 years ago. So this isn't just like a repeat performance of his life in Galilee. And this isn't also something like totally new. He's going to just kind of throw everything out and start over again. He's coming, he's taking his life up again. And remember, his life, the body of Christ, can also be seen as synonymous with the church. So he's coming back to the church to take up the church again. Something, as we've been saying, something similar, but new. Oftentimes, you know, we see a nation or a company, like the history of a nation or of a company or whatever, in terms of like rise and decline. Because nothing lasts forever. You know, even the greatest nations of this earth have declined. Look at the Roman Empire, the United States. I mean, this earth might exist for another 5,000 years. The United States is not going to be around that long. Great companies and so forth. It's just natural because they're worldly institutions. They're bound by time. And everything that's worldly and bound by time dies. Nothing is eternal except for Christ and the church. So we look at the church like, oh, the church, you know, rose in the Middle Ages and now it's declining. But no, we don't look at the church in like a timeline type sense. Because the church will always be around. And it doesn't mean the church is always going to be strong, but it's living. It's constant. And so Christ, which means Christ is always going to come into us and recreate us and add on to us, to build on what he already has given us, to make it something great. So pray about that reality and pray how you right now, in the year 2024, wherever you are meant to play a role in the church, in Christ's plan to come back and take this up again. It's exciting, and he wants you. That's why he called you specifically to be in this flock right now. Listen to his voice. He's going to lead us to something great. Amen.